Well, greetings and welcome to the Dividing Line. I feel like I'm like way out of. Well, I just don't like having a camera on me at any time at all, to be very honest with you. And I think the majority of the people watching don't like that very much either. Only reason we do a video cast is when I show stuff and things like that, because otherwise I would just sort of say, yeah, let's not bother with that. And we didn't for many years, and that was probably good. But anyway, welcome to the Dividing Line. You're going, wait a minute, you did one yesterday. Pastor Tom Buck was in, and you all talked about all sorts of stuff, but nothing overly controversial, and this is true. Today, you'll notice that I'm wearing one of my G3 shirts, you know, and I try to avoid... Wow, you managed to move that. Well, that's pretty cool how you can do that without actually being in here. That's impressive. That's cool. Anyway, I'm wearing one of my G3 shirts because G3 is coming up again. See, there's the little thing there, and they've got one. It's not the best picture of me, but anyways, there's a picture of many people on the thingy, Bobby there, and there it's G3. See, that's big enough to read. January sounds like it's a million years away from now, but given that I will be traveling another 65,000 miles or so between now and then. No, it'll be coming up much faster than. And I really like the fact that my picture is right next to Michael Kruger, because that just makes me much smarter. But then it's right above Todd Friel, so it's sort of even that'll end up on YouTube somewhere. But anyway, I always, when I'm thinking about what I'm going to wear, because I didn't have to worry about what I wore before Rich put these cameras in here and stuff. I didn't even have to give it a second thought, but now I do. And so, like, I don't generally wear, like, my EBTC shirts or my G3 shirts. I'm going to be talking about really controversial stuff because there are so few people who will even be seen in the same room with me anymore that I have to hold on to the few that will be. So I've just got to be sort of careful, you know. Rich has to because he's stuck. You know, he's sort of doomed, but he's stuck with it. But other people don't. So why would I be wearing it? Because the boss man's here, and he is sort of the boss man, and he's got. I knew he would have a G3 shirt, too, because you have... How many G3 shirts do you have?
I have a number of them.
You have a number of them. I have a number of them, but I always get the year afterwards. So this year, you went with colored stuff.
Yes, we did.
So I get the hand-me-downs in January of this year, right?
You might end up with this shirt.
So Josh... Josh Bice. Now, what's the background of that? Because it shouldn't. Is that French?
We came from the Netherlands.
The Netherlands.
Yeah.
So that's not. I bet you hear every possible permutation.
Yeah, it's not to be confused with James P. Boyce or James Montgomery Boyce.
That's right. Or yeah. Buice or
Buizy or Buick or anything else.
Buicky. Yeah. There are a lot of different ways there. I bet you have to spell it almost every time when checking into a hotel or something like that. But when did you start the G3 conferences?
We started the G3 conference shortly after I came back home to serve the church, where I serve presently in Atlanta, Georgia, just west of Atlanta, Georgia. We just wanted to start a theology conference. So it was just before 2013. This was 2011. We started praying through the process of starting a good theology conference in the Atlanta area. And so just praying through what that looked like, we came up with the name G3, just gospel, grace, glory. We wanted everyone to know from the beginning this was a theology conference. This is not a pep rally. This is not something you go to just hang out with religious people. This is, we're going to get down to business. We're going to have 10 to 15 main session sermons, breakout sessions included.
You got to be able to sit around for a while.
Yeah,
I mean, sit around for a while.
We have a reputation of being very fast-paced. So we like to try to fix that a little bit, but at the same time, we want to maximize as much as we can through those 3 days.
Well, especially because you're trying to get people to come from long distance.
Absolutely. So that was 2011. 2013 was the first year. We expected to have a few people come from just outside of the Atlanta area, maybe a couple of states just in the southeast. Our sanctuary will seat at our church roughly, I mean, if you just squeeze people in, maybe 800. And we had a waiting list of people to get in. So we looked at the registration list, and it was people not just from the southeast, but it was from literally all over the country and outside of the country. And so that was the first 4 years until 2017, the Reformation Conference. We moved away from the campus, as you know, to go to the convention center over by the airport, where we had roughly 2,500.
Right. Yeah, and I was at the church twice, and then this year at the conference center, and we did our first pre-conference debate this year.
Very well attended,
with Trent Horn of Catholic Answers, and we're trying to arrange a pre-conference debate this time too.
Yeah.
And there aren't too many people you can get that do debates very often. We're a very odd lot, very strange group.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you put up with the odd folks. But so there's differences going to a convention center. I mean, aside from the fact that you get a whole lot more walking in.
Yeah.
Much healthier when you finish off because, but you also get to have a whole lot more a display area.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a huge number. How many people?
The exhibitors?
Yeah, the exhibitors.
I think we had maybe 65 or so. And again, that's just word of mouth and that type of thing. So if we really pushed it, we could have quite a number more. But again, I mean, the goal of the exhibit hall is not to just see if we can get 200 of them. I mean, because we obviously could. It's to put before people trustworthy resources and good ministries. Right. That's the key.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time over there. We were set up next to Michael Fallon and the Sovereign folks, and with whom we do a tremendous amount of work. And as soon as we get in there, then the line would start forming, and mm-hmm. you start talking with folks, and so that's great. And but we took up a lot of space, a lot of room, and I just know obviously it's different to go to the convention.
It was.
How did that change things on your end? Because I mean, your people had to do everything.
Yeah, they do.
And that's a huge amount of work to mm-hmm. have it on your campus, but to even move it away, it's still a huge amount of work.
Yeah. So the church, that was the most difficult part of moving to the convention center. In many ways, it was easier for the church because we're not having to do as much work. We wanted to do more than we were able to because of the rules and all of the contracts with food and beverage and all of this. They just limit us. We can't bring in stuff. I mean, you go to Shepherd's Conference and you walk out the doors and you have 1,000 people standing there ready to, shine your shoes and hand you an ice cream cone. You know, I mean, it's just, and so we're limited as to what we can do at a convention center. So that was the most challenging aspect because the church really sees it as a ministry and an opportunity to invest in other believers, other churches, pastors. And so for us, that was a really, it was a difficult thing for us. We had a lot of conversations amongst the family, so to speak, within the church to just say, look, we can still accomplish ministry just at a different venue. That's what we're seeking to accomplish.
I see 18 pictures here.
Not all of those are main session speakers. Some of them will be just speaking in breakout sessions, but trying to just maximize the time, over those 3 days.
That's just a lot of people.
Yeah, it is.
I don't go to another conference that has that many people.
Yeah. Well, once again, we're just trying to do the best that we can as far as being good stewards of the ministry that the Lord's entrusted to us. We want to have as many people come, many opportunities. Well, again, another thing that you didn't mention is the reason you have, I think, three or four of those will be speaking in the first annual Spanish conference this year.
Yeah, I just saw the Spanish January 17th.
Yeah. So all day Wednesday before the potential debate that you would do on Wednesday evening, would be all day on Wednesday would be in Spanish. So Q&A.
Well, we're not doing the debate in Spanish.
Yeah, no, we're not going to do the debate in Spanish.
I may live in Phoenix, but I'm not doing the debate in Spanish because I don't actually speak Spanish. German really doesn't do much good here in Phoenix, but that was what I chose to study. It's great in Wittenberg, though.
Yes, it is.
I will be able to. There's this great pasta place in Wittenberg. And, I was just in Wittenberg a few weeks ago. And let's just say the food that was generally available wasn't my favorite. So I hit this pasta place. And they actually got to know me over the course of the week. And so if we go there... Mm-hmm. I can get you through the menu.
Good.
Because they don't do English real well.
Yeah, I need a translator.
You need a translator. Yeah. So the spaghetti bolognese, really, really good.
Very good.
Really, really good. And not overly expensive either, which is sort of nice. But anyway, so we've done a couple conferences, but we don't do them anymore because they're too much work.
Yeah, lots of work.
I mean, I see you at the end of this, and it's sort of like when somebody, not that, Rich, not yet. Hold on. I'll let you know. It's almost like when somebody finishes a marathon.
Yes.
You know?
I've done both.
I know. You're a very good runner, unlike me, who I just sort of plod along, but get you on a bike and maybe we'll be even.
Yeah,
but the amount of work is just astounding.
Yeah.
So why?
Well, again, the conference is not to... it's not for us. It's not for me. It's not for, namesake or anything of that nature. It's a ministry. It's to invest in and to further sound biblical theology and methodology in a local church. So we obviously want to have the benefits in our local church, but we want to further that agenda within the evangelical church or Southern Baptist churches and various other churches who come. Because you see, the G3 conference is not just Southern Baptist. I mean, we have Presbyterians who come, we have Reformed Baptists, we have non-denominational, we have SBC. So we want to see the local church to become healthy. And so that's the ultimate goal. But again, I just need to be very clear. I don't do all of the G3 conference work. I have a really...
Oh, of course.
I have a wonderful church and a wonderful staff, wonderful elders.
Yeah, but we all know where the buck stops.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean I have a lot of help behind the scenes. I couldn't do it on my own. So unlike a marathon where it's like you're the only guy that can finish this, I do have a lot of help.
Now, Vody and I can rock the bow ties.
Yeah.
But... I've tried with Steve.
Yeah.
No. I am now 100% convinced that Steve sleeps in his suit.
I think so. He does. I've watched him pack before. He has a certain routine that he goes through.
Oh, yeah. I got some new Steve Lawson stories from Wittenberg.
Yeah.
I really did. I can't tell you on the air, though. I'll tell you later. They're great.
I thought, though, since I turned 40 today, I can start wearing bow ties now. Yeah.
Well, no, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Now,
that was an old joke, I think, but
there was a shot in there.
Yeah.
Because I don't. Do you think that has something to do with age? Have you told Vody this? Do you realize what Vody could do to you without you even seeing it coming?
I would say that with the door open.
Because you figure you might be able to outmove him.
I can.
Have you seen how fast that man can move?
I can run longer, so I'll just get up
well,
to speed, and he can't catch
that's
me.
That's true. Yeah. Wow. Okay, that's very well. I should mention that today is a special. I mean, we are just so deeply honored that on today, this special day,
yeah,
your birthday.
Yeah, and Rich gave me a cup of coffee for my birthday.
Well, we have something more for you.
Oh, okay.
We have something more for you. Rich is bringing it in now. I worked really hard on this, but I want you to know how much this means.
This is wonderful.
Because can we see it. Okay, there we go. There. Anyway, yeah, here. Okay, here. This, let me tell you what this is. Muscle Milk makes some of the yummiest protein bars on the planet. This is one of my very own Muscle Milk chocolate peanut butter, 20 grams of protein, protein bars. They are sinfully delicious.
Wonderful.
And so we felt you had to have something.
Thank
so
you.
There you go. There's yeah. your, there's no one else could do but we've, yeah. what we've done. After all you've done for me, all these,
yeah.
Yeah. give you a protein that bar with
wonderful.
A candle in it.
Great. What would my one wish be?
Yes, yeah. yes. What would my one wish be? Yeah, yeah.
Well,
he's thinking about it. So
I was going to wait for you to sing, and then I would blow
no,
it out.
Well, you know, that would probably lose our entire audience
yeah.
if we did that. So.
Yeah.
That would break YouTube. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Well, there you go.
There you
go. Thank you, guys.
You're most
it.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Have you ever had Muscle Milk?
I have,
chocolate?
Actually. Yeah.
They
it's good.
Really good.
Yeah.
They protein, you know, it used to be you sort of felt like you were really doing it because I'm eating my protein and it's horrible, but it's good for me. And now it's just sort of like I'm eating my protein and it's like a candy bar. It's just so good. It's just disgusting. It really is. And that was not a paid advertisement, by the way. I want everyone to understand I am not a paid spokesperson for either Muscle Milk or Quest bars. Both of them are just ridiculously good, however. In fact, you take a Quest chocolate chip cookie dough bar,
mm-hmm.
15 seconds in the microwave,
mm-hmm.
and it's not right.
Yeah.
It's not right. 20 grams of protein, it's just awesome. Only 190 calories. That's a little bit more than 190 calories.
Yeah.
I know that you probably are counting them.
Well, we have about a 26-hour drive home with 13 of us, seven
yes.
children.
Yes.
So, yeah, it'll come.
It'll be used.
It'll
be
help
used.
Us. Yeah.
So there
Thank
you go.
You.
So 40, I hate to point this out.
Yeah.
But in a couple weeks, I have my 35th wedding anniversary.
Nice.
So yeah. That gives you an idea.
Yes, it does.
I ain't old enough to be your papa,
yeah.
but I ain't
go.
That far away.
Yeah, there you go.
I ain't that far away.
Nice.
So 40 is nothing. Enjoy your youth.
Yeah.
I am currently engaging in that horrific activity of trying to get ready for my July rides.
Yeah.
And so what is the date today? 14th. I have less than a month until the triple bypass.
Yeah.
Which is 120 miles, 10,000 to 500 feet of climbing between 7,500 and 12,000 feet above sea level.
Yeah.
And the next weekend is the assault of Mount Evans on the rivets for 3 hours to 14,130 feet above sea level.
And so you ride at like 3 o'clock in the morning, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I'm going to ride outside.
Yeah. So, I mean, you told me that. I thought, man, that's crazy. And, you know, I know Phoenix is hot, but then when I arrived here,
wasn't that bad.
Well, I mean, the heat wasn't. But I got up early. I said, I'll get up at 5:30 and go run. And it's like,
sun's already up.
It's been up for an hour or
well,
more.
Well, no, the sun's rising at 5:30 right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was really, really light. Yeah. I mean, the sun was already up at 5 o'clock. I could see the sun at 5 o'clock.
A little early, because I timed that very, very accurately.
Yeah.
But the point is, once the sun hits you, You've only got there's this awesome scene from the Chronicles of Riddick
mm-hmm.
where this guy named a purifier walks out into the sun on this one planet and it just blows him away. He just lights up.
Yeah.
That's Phoenix about 1 hour after sunrise.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be riding, you need to be getting home about then, or it's going to start getting ugly.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just because you guys must be close to the time zone change.
We don't play.
Yeah, I mean, I know you don't hear, but what I'm saying is when you cross over that time zone, that the sun comes up extremely early here. For us in Atlanta, if I go run at 5:30, it's still dark. I have to use a flashlight. Not here.
Oh, I do that too.
Yeah.
I do run in the dark at times as well. So, yeah, we're both committed to that kind of thing. I think it's important. The problem is 15 years from now.
Mm-hmm. Much more difficult.
Translate yourself 15 years in the future and getting back in the ability to function at 14,000 feet above sea level is not easy.
Mm-mm.
But why do we do it? Well, some people would say bodily exercise profiteth little. That's what the King James says. But that's in comparison to godliness.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but when I'm working hard with goals physically, I will work hard with goals mentally and spiritually too.
Correct.
And if my body is sluggish, if I don't do something physical, at least... my goal this year, I know everybody looks at me and says, it doesn't look like that. My goal this year is 750 crunches per day for the entire year, 275,000 for the year. I'm actually above that right now, but that's because when you and I go to Europe, I normally carry a little machine I put together that helps support my neck when I do crunches.
Right.
I'm not going to have time to be putting that together and taking it apart with all the different places we're going.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to lose a solid 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Right there. So I've got to try to buffer that ahead so I can catch up with it afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that kind of stuff, if I don't do something like that, like on a Lord's Day morning, I will be a slug when it comes to preaching or teaching.
Right.
I will be. Because this body and this mind, they're connected.
Yeah.
And I think some Christians have a Gnostic idea that, you know, your spirit's out there someplace, and no, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't.
No.
And just the nature of the beast. As a pastor, do a lot of sitting, a lot of reading, and so you just feel better. I think you preach better. I think that you think better if you can stay healthy. And I'm certainly not in as good of shape as I have been in years past, but I'm trying to get in better shape, and I just think it makes me better all the way around. I mean, in all areas.
And especially now that you've hit the big 4.
I know it's all downhill from this point.
Well, it was actually, I had a high school teacher that said it was downhill from 18. It was really depressing. But no, trust me, it takes more and more work. It's easier to stay in shape.
Yeah.
Than to get back in shape.
Yes.
So I encourage you to continue to do that. We've never run together because I'd slow you down too much.
Yeah. You always have an excuse about it being too cold in January.
No, my friends in Ukraine are laughing at that because I ran in Ukraine at 19 degrees.
Yeah, and I saw that, but I do distinctly remember you saying you had to have a treadmill in Atlanta because it was so cold. The first G3 you came to when it, and it was
well. I don't run on ice.
Yeah.
I don't run on ice. No, I have goals, and so torn up knees, ACLs and stuff. No, I don't. Do not run on ice. If it's that cold, not doing that. No. So anyway, speaking of which, so January 17th with the Spanish, 18th to the 20th, Atlanta, Georgia. G3conference.com, people can sign up there, and they need to sign up. They don't need to be putting themselves on wait lists and things like that. Vody's coming back over, Steve Lawson. Do you have all of the things that Steve needs ready to go?
Absolutely.
The burgers without cheese and only mustard.
Yeah,
and,
so it's typically a turkey sandwich with sun chips, vitamin water.
There you go. And I thought I was picky. And Paul's still planning on being there.
Paul Washer's doing much better. Spoke with him, actually just texted just a couple of weeks back, and he's improving, and so things are going well with him. Yeah.
Well, I know my dad had a quadruple bypass a couple of years ago and was like changing it's like refurbishing the engine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's, I think, coming up on 80, 85 now, and made a huge difference. Yeah. Made a huge difference. But, you know, the thing that bugs me is I saw him shortly before the heart attack. He was at the TMAI symposium that I was speaking at before the Shepherd's Conference. And it was because he told me what the doctors had said that I didn't see it. If he had walked into that room and he didn't tell me what doctors had said it was, I'd have gone, dude, you've got a blockage someplace.
Yeah.
I had seen this before.
Yeah.
But when someone tells you, oh, I've seen the doctors say it's this thing over here, then it's like, oh, okay, fine, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like, but I've been telling him, he will tell you at G3, you were there when he walked up to me.
Yeah.
And I had to steady him because he wanted to tell me what was going on in Africa in regards to Islam.
Yeah.
And you've heard me tell him, brother, you've got a young daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give me the Charles Spurgeon, I'm going to burn out at a young age type thing. I don't buy it. Yeah. So I can honestly say I was trying to tell the guy, dude.
Mm-hmm. At that point, I will say we met again at the Shepherd's Conference shortly after the G3, and he was already canceling things at that point.
Yeah, he told me that.
I mean, he was supposed to be. I think
he was supposed to be in
Geneva.
Wittenberg.
I mean, in Wittenberg. Yeah. So there you go. So he was pulling back already at that point, but
not fast enough.
Praise God, he's doing much better.
Good. Good. So we look forward to. To seeing him, and I just can't wait to see him at full strength.
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen Paul Washer at full strength for a long time.
Yeah.
We really haven't. And Michael Kruger, I know it bugs him when I say this, and it's a little bit easier for me to say this because he's younger than I am, but just one of the most brilliant minds in the church today.
Yeah.
Really, really is. And I don't know how it fits in, how we can make it fit in to the topic, but if there's some way to get him to talk about canon issues, there so few people can address that topic, and he is just brilliant in that area.
Yeah, really, he definitely really is. He's a gift to the church, and we would love to get the two of you to sit up and do maybe a Q&A session or just a discussion on these matters.
Well, especially what he and I could do is early manuscripts, because I'm working on P45. He's done so much work in that whole general area that those early manuscripts we could put together. We could put together pictures. There's so much great high-end digital photography now of the early papyri. And I've just found it's amazing. Maybe it's just because we have geeks that watch this program all the time. But I've found a lot of Christians that are just fascinated when they get to actually see the manuscripts. Instead of a little note at the bottom of the page that says some manuscripts say this, there's P45, there's P66, there's P75. Wow, P75 and Codex Sinaiticus both come from the same line. They go back into the first century in their text. And wow, this is amazing stuff. And a lot of people, you know, when I debated Bart Ehrman, he just so condescendingly says to the whole audience, I doubt anyone could really understand what we were saying. And it's just like, people really do love it. And I was just teaching in the Czech Republic. And one of the things they wanted me to speak on was the textual critical stuff.
Sure.
And so there's just so little of that. So it's important stuff, and we'll get a chance to do that. So there's but you've got a little something to do before G3.
Yeah, we do.
And it's only a matter of weeks away, literally.
We do. Yeah.
And that is we're going to Europe, and I don't have a clue how we're going to handle this stuff. I have a feeling it's going to be sort of stream of consciousness type thing. But we're going to be going all over the place, and people are going to be looking at you and me to somehow provide some kind of background information. What scares me is you'll frequently have people on these tours that know more about these places than we do.
Right.
So, but we have to look, we have to make it look good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How are we going to do that?
Well, we're going to study. We're going to read.
We're going to study.
Yeah.
Well, I've been doing that for a long time,
sure.
But Yeah. But
no,
still.
We'll be well prepared. Looking forward to that. It's just going to be a wonderful thing to walk in the footsteps of the Reformers. People say, why do you go to Europe and walk in the footsteps of the reformers? What's the big deal? I mean, it's, you know, it's the 500th anniversary. Yeah, that's a big deal. But why go to all the trouble and go over and make this journey? I think that it's like, you know, for instance, going to Israel or going someplace like that. I mean, it puts things into perspective. When you think about going to Worms in 1521 and you go to where Luther literally came into Worms, and this, I mean, the streets are filled with people that just want to see this guy, and they have to sneak him in. And just think about standing at that very place where he gave his stand, and he...
Which
he
is still, now...
It's just a placard on the ground.
It's a placard on the ground you have to get the leaves off of.
Yeah, but
which,
I mean...
Which says something about Europe as a whole.
Yeah.
To be permanent.
Well, it does. I mean, parking place number 23 and things like that.
That's exactly right. Well, I was just in Wittenberg, and you'll be proud of me, since there weren't any bikes around. Mike Abendroth was there, and he actually found a bike, but it was one of those, you know, where... Mm-hmm. I got up every morning, I ran.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only person that got up every morning and ran. And I, by the way, I'll be able to show you the smoother areas to run in rather than running those cobblestones is dangerous and not easy on the body. But, you know, running past the castle church and seeing, well, seeing all the, you know, they're preparing obviously for all the Lutherans are going to show up.
Right.
Things like that. But just thinking, running past where the Exsurge Domine was burned.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a little path that goes right down and over toward Lutherstadt right there. And it's just, it's like, yeah, that's where it happened. That's fascinating. And running past the Luther house and realizing that right inside there, it's gone now, but was the little room that Luther had. And you can sort of point to people to where it was, though it's not there any longer. And it's sort of like it all happened, you know, really happened. And then, of course, one of the things we're going to have to keep explaining to people is the fact that you and I probably would have been in deep trouble in Wittenberg by as early as 1525.
Absolutely.
And that really causes people angst and cognitive dissonance, whatever it is. It's just like, no, wait a minute. How can I enjoy visiting the castle church or the Luther house and stuff like that when at the same time what you're basically saying is, yeah, well, when you go, if we go to the, Wartburg.
Yes. Yeah.
And so we'll get to see
where he was hiding.
Not only where he was hiding, but where a man who refused to have his children baptized was imprisoned in a tiny cell for 8 years till he died. And people go, well, I can't learn from somebody or honor somebody that would have done that.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
And that's going to be, for me anyways, that has to be a constant theme, is that we have to learn how to read church history.
Be balanced.
And allow the people of history to be the people then
that
and not judge them by the standards that we have today. Or you're not going to find almost anybody in church history that you're going to have a particular love for.
Right, right. And that's one of the beautiful things about the scriptures. If you read how the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God, you see that it's not just wonderful things that we see about people like King David. We see some really bad things that he did. And so I think that that's a misconception about people sometimes. If they say, well, you guys are making Calvin and Luther out to be just these unblemished heroes.
You're following them, right?
That is not what we're attempting to do.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close. Not even close. No, we will. I bring to any discussion of church history issues and things like that, obviously, my apologetic concerns.
Right.
And so folks will probably end up with much more of a education on what Rome believed then and now than they may be looking for. But the reality is, if we look at any of our confessions of faith, if we look at recently I taught through the section on the Lord's Supper in the London Baptist Confession, and almost any of the major sections of the London Baptist Confession or the Westminster Confession will have a specific statement, not like the papists say, mm-hmm. and the very language is being used, forged in a context of controversy. And if you don't know what was believed at that time, then you're not going to really have much of an understanding of why there was such an emphasis upon this. And the scary part is a lot of people today think that what they believe they just simply got from the Bible,
mm-hmm.
when the reality is they've been deeply influenced by what happened in church history, but they don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know it, then you're controlled by it. If you don't know history, mm-hmm. then what happened in history controls you, and you have no way of filtering it out. If you know history, then you can see where those influences came from.
That's a good point.
But unfortunately for most people, including Roman Catholics, Roman Catholics like to say, we're the champions of church history. You talk to most Roman Catholics, they have no clue about church history. But they will say, you Protestants, church history began with Martin Luther for you. In some senses, unfortunately, for a lot of Baptists, it actually starts with Billy Graham.
yeah.
I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves. That's the reality. And so coming to realize that God's actually been building his church,
yes,
amongst people that dress differently, mm-hmm. differently than me, and that spoke different languages than me. That's one of the things I've loved about getting, I've become a world traveler. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I hate to tell you this, but I'm not sure where we're flying to,
yeah.
but if we go through Heathrow, I'm going to be waiting for you guys.
Yeah.
Because I'm a registered traveler now.
Oh, so really? Well,
my passport, EU line, straight on through.
I'm going to be speaking at another conference in France just before our tour, so
I'm getting the shame wag finger from the other room.
Yeah.
For what I just did. So you're going to.
I'm speaking at another conference in France just before the tour starts. So I'll meet you guys in Berlin.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. I'm sure that Mike is probably going to be watching this, maybe even watching this now. But if Mike really likes me, in fact, if he loves me,
mm-hmm.
and Mike and I have been through a lot together. We really have. I've known him longer than you have.
Yes, you have.
but it's possible that there's this thing on my bucket list.
Yeah.
And he knows about it, and it's we're going to be close enough that has he mentioned it to you?
He has, and I have a game plan of my own as well.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be one of those crazy guys that runs alongside, and
carrying the sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. What superhero costume are you going to wear?
I don't know. I'll just have to. I'll let my son pick it out.
Yeah. Now we got to tell everybody because everybody's going. You can't leave something like that blank because knowing the people who detest me, they'll fill it in with something. But I really, really, really want to ride Lauftwez.
Mm-hmm.
Lauftwez is of all, and the Tour de France is coming up here in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of us who are cyclists, Tour de France is a three-week-long Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool when you think about it. It's a three-week-long Super Bowl. We just had Giro d'Italia. That was really good. And I actually love the Vuelta a España, which is in August. But the Tour is mm-hmm. the Tour. Is the Tour.
Yeah.
And of all the climbs, you've got Mount Ventoux. I would love to do Ventoux someday. Mm-hmm. That would be awesome. And there's just some incredible, incredible climbs. But the granddaddy, the one of them all, is the climb of Lauftwez. And we're going to be close enough that maybe, just maybe, and I'd have to rent a bike, and I'm sure there's lots of places that rent bikes there. I even have a program on my iPad.
Yeah.
Where I can climb mm-hmm. Lauftwez on video.
Yeah.
And since I'm on a smart trainer,
Mm-hmm. So it's Bluetooth connected and all the rest of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It records all that stuff, and it actually puts it on GPS maps. So when it records up to Strava, it looks like I actually climbed La Fouette. It's fake, but it is the actual thing, a GPS satellite behind it. But that's not quite the same.
No.
iPad is just not quite the same as actually getting to climb La Fouette. I would love to have that opportunity. If it doesn't work out, I recognize, you know, that's life. You and I also are going to be doing some preaching.
Yes.
On this trip.
Some really unique opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mike has done a great job. And for those listening that think that, well, you know, I could just go and do my own tour through these places,
yeah.
They have no idea of the work that goes into something like this and planning it out. And they will not get the opportunities that we're
going to have. No. Mike, I don't know how he does it, but he has connections that a lot of other people would have no idea. And so there are a couple of those places where you're speaking at, you realize that we're going to have to wear the appropriate clothing.
Yes.
Going back in the ages.
Yes.
So we're going to look a little bit like Calvin.
Yeah, put the gown on.
Yep. So it's going to be incredible, and people can still sign up and come along with us. You would think I would have, well, obviously, aomin.org, there's a big old banner ad, and you can click on that, get all the information, and I'm sure if you called Sovereign, I'm not sure who you end up talking to. You'd probably rather talk to Kathy than, you know, that other guy that we keep getting stuck with. Ryan, that's that guy.
Poor Ryan.
We love Ryan. Ryan is so much fun the last cruise we did, he was on with Mike, and every time I try to get Ryan to run with me, doesn't work. Now I have pictures of me and Kathy running in London.
I've seen that.
We could, you know, but Ryan just comes up with the most enjoyable reasons as to why he's not going to get out and run. Well, and in fact, last time. We have a picture of me and Kathy running on the bridge where the attack took place.
Yep.
Not the last one, but the one before that.
Right.
Very spot where it happened. And then I took a picture of me, selfie, at that spot, frowning, with Big Ben in the background, because I was there and they weren't there, and I didn't get to run. That was 1 week to the day from that attack. 1 week from the day. Of course, I was running at sunrise.
Yeah.
And I was the only person out there. Yeah. So any jihadi dumb enough to attack at that point, zero results. They don't get up quite that early in the morning. So, So I'm looking forward to it. And the opportunities to learn. And, of course, the fellowship's going to be great and all the rest of that kind of stuff, too. But we're really looking forward to it. So you've got... I'm not sure. You want to have a competition as to who has the busiest time between now and the next year?
You will win. But there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Because I've got our stuff.
Yeah.
But that will be only a matter of weeks after I get back from London and Johannesburg and Durban, which is in August. And then we've got Europe in September. In October, I'm doing Dallas twice. And then Mike has this conference in Washington at the beginning of November. Other than one trip in December, I might actually be, but this year I will be out of the country one out of every 6 days.
Oh, wow.
That's just, we've got to cut that back next year. We've just got to cut that back. That doesn't mean I'm not going to go out, but I think what we're going to do is we're going to do one mainly teaching trip to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're actually putting together one global trip.
Mm-hmm.
So Phoenix, London, Joburg, Sydney, possibly New Zealand, and then back across. So it would literally be around the globe.
Yeah, I mean, if you keep it up, you'll be like Steve Lawson. You'll be in a new city with a new group of people getting a picture every day.
Just about.
Yeah.
Just about. But like I said, his trip to Wittenberg was a little interesting. Poor guy. Plane was late, and the guy even managed to lose his wedding ring on the flight.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I do know how you do that.
Yeah.
You take the ring off, wash your hands, you stick it on something, and then I don't.
We went to Europe together last year, and he showed up without his luggage. So that's not good.
Did you know? Let me show you when we get done here. I have purchased a luggage tracking device. And I love landing in Johannesburg.
And it pings.
And we are taxiing. And my phone goes off. It says, your luggage is in Johannesburg,
that's
South Africa.
So
now, what's really bad is if you land and you say, your luggage is in Paris, France. Okay, now that's when you know.
800 miles away.
You automatically know, okay, I'm not even going to have to sit there and wait. Because the neat thing is, not only does it do that, but you can switch over to Bluetooth. And it'll say your luggage is 50 feet away.
Oh,
luggage is
nice.
40 feet away.
Yeah.
And then you're just watching. Oh, there it is. There it comes. That is brilliant. I got to admit, that is geeky. But
it works.
When you travel, you want to know your luggage is actually get there. Because I've lost. I've gone to London.
I've lost it.
Yeah.
It's just not a good thing.
Well, my wife works for one of the major airlines in the central baggage area. And so the first time that my luggage got lost, I call her, and she had just started doing it. She got all excited because now she got to get to use the programs and all the rest of that stuff. I'm like, I'm not nearly as excited as you are, dear. Really, I'm not. But I am, you know. And then a few months later, once she sort of got used to it, her luggage got lost. I said, so, dear, you as excited as you were last time? And she, no. She wasn't at all. Which device is it? It's called Luglock. Luglock. Someone in channel is asking Luglock. And it works. I mean, and I forgot to turn it off when I got back this last time.
Mm-hmm.
So day before yesterday, I get my phone, ping. I'm like, what? It says your lug lock device is in Phoenix and it's only got 10% battery left because it's out in the storage room. I left it in the luggage and forgot to turn it on. I was like, oh, okay. I better go rescue it from the heat because you don't want to leave that in the Phoenix heat. That's for sure. But they really do work.
That's nice.
I would highly recommend. It's a minor investment for that level of peace of mind.
Oh, absolutely.
It really, really, really is. So, anyways, in the few minutes we've got left, what happened with the penal substitutionary atonement thing?
Yeah.
Did that pass?
It did. The thing is, these resolutions. So
I just left everybody in the dust there. We just left everybody with a neck ache. We're sitting here talking about Europe. Yeah. Back to the Southern Baptist Convention, which is ongoing right now. Phoenix. There was a difference between a resolution and a motion. This was something that didn't go through a committee or something. So I guess it's less binding or something. Yeah. I'm not really sure how it all works. Yeah. On the importance of penal substitutionary atonement.
Correct. Again, I mean, the Southern Baptist Convention is extremely, it's like a cruise ship or an aircraft carrier. It's massive. It's large. Turns very slowly.
takes a lot of gas to get
it really does. And so there's lots
of. We could carry this along a lot farther than you want to carry it.
Yeah, probably so. But you know, people say, well, you know, if you believe what you believe, or the things within the SBC that you don't like, for instance, or that you would criticize, how can you remain in the SBC with those particular things happening? I would just say that, number one, I've been a Southern Baptist my entire life. I'm not ashamed to be a Southern Baptist. But what I would say is that, again, it's like a massive family reunion. And so you have the crazy uncles that show up. And you just don't, you know, you get your plate and you don't want to sit down next to them or, it's kind of like a game. It's like you're going to watch where he sits so that you don't have to end up sitting next to that individual. And that's the way that the SBC works. But they always end up at a microphone.
A very interesting definition of unity.
Yes. Well, I mean, we are family. But we don't always agree
get along on
with
yes.
everyone, right. and that's just right. the way it works. But, you know, resolutions, so the Southern Baptist Convention has a long history of having resolutions and recommitments and things of that nature on various different things. There was actually another one on the Reformation, actually, this year. And Well, just going back shocking. To, yeah, I mean, but again, it's encouraging to at least see that the convention, a lot of people throw rocks at the SBC because again, it's really easy. It's a big target. The crazy uncles stand out above everyone else usually. And so, and again, you have a lot of politics involved in the SBC, but that being said, a focus on, a recommitment to stand on the principles of the Reformation and to stand on the doctrine of substitutionary atonement is a very good thing.
Sure.
The problem is I don't really think that that's possible. For instance, how do you have a resolution that upholds substitutionary atonement and then you have this weird vein of quote unquote traditionalists that would not necessarily stand lockstep on the doctrine of substitution.
But even one of the authors of that is a traditionalist.
Correct.
So we would look at that and we would go, okay, but the only way to consistently hold that is if you recognize the personal nature of the union of the elect with Christ. But that kind of connectivity.
Yeah.
It just isn't there.
You know as well as I do. Anytime you're debating or talking about anything as far as theology goes, it's all about definitions and it's all about what dictionary that you're using.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is one of these people might be using one set of terms and definitions, whereas someone else is using a different dictionary altogether.
So. Yeah, most definitely. Well, so did you go to the Connect 316 breakfast this morning?
I was actually busy and wasn't able to make that one.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Because someone has suggested to me that I should gate crash that one because that would have made it the most memorable Connect 316 breakfast ever.
Yeah. I mean, I did suggest.
Yeah, security.
I did suggest that we do this interview.
That's right.
Live interview at the convention.
It would have gotten quite the interesting audience, but we don't really have the facilities to do that, and I think we would have had to have requested that a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know that how positively the reaction, I'm not sure what kind of positive reaction we would have gotten for that.
You know, I think that the Southern Baptist Convention is very diverse, and so I thought it was a wonderful opportunity for you guys to join the SBC this year.
I didn't know that parachurch ministries can.
No, you and your church.
I think my fellow elders might have some questions about that. We're not big in joining stuff.
Yeah,
you know, we're sort of yeah.
But again, I mean, people do ask and they say, you know, why is it that you would stick around in an SBC? And they ask me, and then they ask a lot of the younger pastors that might be more sympathetic with the things that I'm passionate about. And I would just say you work with who you can work with. And I see a lot of people, I see a lot of things that I could sit here and complain about within the SBC. But then on the other side of the fence, just to be balanced, I see some really healthy things as well.
Mm.
So I really appreciate what I see happening at Southern Seminary with Al Mohler.
Mm.
I really appreciate what I see happening with, you know, Tom Askell and Founders Ministries. I appreciate what I see happening with Nine Marks Ministries and the emphasis on discipleship and Mark Dever. And so there's lots of people that I can work with and that I can help support and just, you know, try to cooperate with who I can work with and try to further an agenda that would bring about health.
Did you hear anything about, I saw some pictures of some billboards downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was there any talk about the homosexual issue?
Yeah, I mean, there were driving mobile billboards that were just circling the blocks. One of them was like 40% or 48%. I can't remember the stat. But of all teens in homeless shelters are LGBTQ. And I mean, you just throw these stats out and it's like someone said, well, what's that trying to say? I guess it's saying that we should be more sympathetic. It's our fault. We're pushing these people that direction.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I mean, you can twist a stat to say almost anything you want it to say.
Yeah.
So, but again, these people show up. There's always going to be someone showing up to stand out and protest.
Well, especially this particular time period in our nation's history and our cultural decline, there had been a fair amount of discussion of these folks showing up and trying to, in essence, shame anybody who would not be a part of the LGBTQ revolution.
Right.
And in light of what's been going on in Ottawa. In Illinois recently, where, you know, in Ottawa, your children can be taken from you if you're not on board with the revolution. It's just unbelievable what's going on. It just seems like that's going to become a regular part.
Yeah.
And, I just wonder, have there been resolutions or, you know, may not want to play around with the Baptist faith and message, but does the Baptist faith and faith and message have a strong, clear enunciation of what marriage is, what human sexuality is, that God creates man, male and female, these are good things, transgenderism is now the cause celeb.
Yeah.
And you have to accept gender fluidity and all the rest of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not there, be getting hit right, left, and center.
I'm sure that we'll see a discussion that will eventually happen, related to that issue in the future, that would be to beef it up some. But even with us, in our local church, we've had to amend our bylaws to add statements about, family and human sexuality just to protect us, because we want to be very clear. We are not an affirming church on any level, and that goes with any of the things that we do as a church. So we have, various different ministries, and we don't want people coming in thinking they can just sign up to help. This is not a humanitarian type of organization here. This is a local church.
Right.
And we have certain doctrinal convictions and beliefs, and we have these governing documents that we can put our finger on and say, this is who we are. And, yes, we love people and we want to tell people of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, obviously. But at the same time, just for legalities, we have to be very clear as to where we stand on these things.
It's just painfully obvious that these groups want to force the issue by trying to become involved in something they have no business being involved with in the first place.
Right.
They don't want us to have those freedoms. And of course, the London Baptist Confession is real clear on these
things.
It is very
clear.
You don't have to really do much if that's your statement of faith. So, yeah, I had seen something on Twitter about some pictures of billboards downtown. I didn't know how prevalent they were, if there had been anybody that had shown up. Or
they were very cordial. They were standing right outside the main doors. There was no screaming and yelling and, any of that.
Well, that's good.
So
that's good. Well, because that, believe me, I've seen that happen.
Oh, I have too. I've been where Westboro Baptist was standing out there.
Yeah.
So.
We 18 years of going up to the General Conference, the Mormon Church, and having that shut down by those very same types of, and no street preachers protesting.
We
got a few at G3.
Yeah, I mean, again, I love open air preaching and open air preachers. Just don't do it in the convention center when you're not invited to preach there. So do that outside.
Didn't know if anybody had shown up for the convention. Any big gathering is going to attract
You're always.
That's just the way it's going to be. Well, Josh, thank you very much. Happy birthday. Enjoy your wonderful gift. did you keep the? Because he may not want to eat it now, but I mean, you're probably going to have to eat that. But appreciate your stopping by, and I guess we'll be seeing you in just a matter of matter of weeks.
Yeah.
And
to be with you today.
If everybody wants to come along, make sure to hit the websites, get the information, join us in on the Reformation tour, and what. That camera or that camera or that. Doesn't matter. Thanks for joining us on the Divine Line today. We'll see you next time. God bless.